This is a concerted effort, politics of personal destruction. Fuck you, John Podesta.
I just got to the location and his housekeeper came out and said that he and Persia killed himself.
I did something really dumb. I'm not suicidal.
No comment.
In November of 2009, a woman named Laura Silsby founded a nonprofit, the New Life Children's Refuge, which described its mission as attempting to rescue orphaned and abandoned children in Haiti and Dominican Republic. 2 months later, on January 29th, 2010, Silsby was arrested for attempting to traffic 33 orphaned children out of Haiti without documentation.
These are some of the 33 Haitian children an American Baptist group allegedly tried to unlawfully take out of the country on Saturday.
The group's leader, Laura Silsby, says the group paid no money for the children.
The mistake obviously we made is we did not understand that there was additional paperwork required.
To me, it's pretty alarming because we're the legal parents of these children and we give her explicit instructions not to interfere with them. For her to continue to come and try to find them to take them to the Dominican tells me that her intent is not actually the best.
The world would later learn through WikiLeaks that Hillary Clinton was sent email updates from Uma Abedin and other associates regarding Silsby's incarceration and developing legal case. This was not the first time Silsby found herself facing child trafficking charges. Silsby had been caught once before by Haitian police attempting to traffic 40 children out of the country. However, in that incident, no charges were brought against her, and she was merely turned back at the border. A week after Silsby was apprehended the second time, on February 7th, 2010, former President Bill Clinton appointed Silsby a lawyer by the name of Jorge Puello. Puello was successful in getting Silsby's charges reduced to 6 months. Jorge Puello also had a colorful history with human trafficking. He was convicted of operating an international sex trafficking ring involving women and underage girls out of Central America and Haiti. Puello's wife was also arrested on the same charges. In 2011, Silsby was appointed as CFO of the software company Conexus and would later become its vice president of marketing. Conexus operates AlertSense, which is the mass notification software used in FEMA's Integrated Public Alert and Warning System, or IPAWS.
The goal is to alert Americans to emergencies like severe weather and missing children.
One of IPAWS' functions is to issue amber alerts to the public in the event of kidnapping. The amber alert system was set up during Bill Clinton's presidency. In 2015, Laura Silsby married Norman Gaylor and took his last name, which is how her name now appears on the Conexus website. How does a woman who was caught multiple times attempting to traffic children internationally get promoted to the executive team of the preeminent kidnapping warning system in the country? And why did the Clintons intervene in her trial?
We're going to continue to provide support, as we do in every instance like this, to American citizens who have been charged, and hope that this matter can be resolved in an expeditious way.
The morning of July 26, 2019, Twitter users saw hashtag Clinton body count trending, just weeks before Jeffrey Epstein had reportedly committed suicide in his prison cell. The phrase Clinton body count was nothing new and had become a meme in forums across the internet years prior. It references the seemingly anomalous amount of Clinton associates who died suspiciously or under mysterious circumstances. Izette Folger, a close friend of Clinton associate James Alefantis, gave a statement in support of Silsby during her trial. Folger is the daughter of Michael Maccabee, who coaches Leaders of Nuestros Pequeños Hermanos, or NPH, a large organization that runs orphanages all over the world. Folger's son, Max Maccabee, is on the board of directors of an NPH orphanage called Friends of the Orphans, which is one of the 760 orphanages operating in Haiti, and happens to be the exact orphanage from which Silsby was caught trafficking children. Curiously, Max Maccabee gave an emphatic and lengthy statement of support for Comet Pizza during a contentious neighborhood commission meeting back when the Pizzagate controversy exploded. It is also worth noting here that Frank Giustra, owner of the Radcliffe Foundation, is on the board of directors for the Clinton Foundation and is a major donor to the organization. The logo of El Pita Home, a refugee center founded by the Radcliffe Foundation, happens to be almost identical in shape and color to the boy lover symbol that the FBI declassified in 2007. Now, regardless of how you feel about the veracity of Pizzagate, scandals seem to follow the Clintons. Their ties to pedophilia don't end there. Monica Peterson was a research intern at the Laboratory to Combat Human Trafficking and a research fellow and assistant director at the Human Trafficking Center. She also served on the Colorado Human Trafficking Council's Data and Research Task Force. Peterson wrote and spoke prolifically on human trafficking. On August 15, 2015, Monica announced her plan to visit Haiti to conduct research on human trafficking and subsequently began living there full-time. On January 3, 2016, Monica shared with her friend Bella some of her findings based on her fieldwork in Haiti up to that point. Quote, "Ms. Clinton has corrupt and dirty business to finish in Haiti. This is the theory my master's thesis puts forth. This is modern structural slavery. But the real significance of this scandal for me, I know you feel me, Bella, is the link to contemporary slavery and trafficking. I can't say to what extent, but there is human trafficking happening through the Clintons' Caracal complex." By this point, Monica seemed to be investigating the Clinton Foundation's child trafficking ties full time. On November 13th, 2016, Monica Peterson was reported dead in Haiti, although no body was ever retrieved for the family's burial service. Monica's family was told that she committed suicide, but they were kept in the dark as to the exact details of her death.
She seemingly took her own life by hanging. But since that time, things that have come to light that just don't fit with Monica's life. None of this seems to fit, and maybe that's just the way it's always going to be.
Peterson's professor, Claude Estrie, said the following about her death. Quote, "She decided to take on one of the demagogues in the field of human trafficking. She produced a 110-page analysis of human trafficking in Haiti. 2 years of research. We were looking for someone who was smart enough and maybe brave enough to publish her work. I will continue to seek out and publish it for her." After making this statement, D'Estrie suddenly disavowed any connections between Peterson and human trafficking and the Clintons. D'Estrie said Peterson had gone to Haiti a number of times, but she was not there to research human trafficking and was not investigating the Clinton Foundation. Why would D'Estrie do a public 180? It turns out that he worked as a supervisor in the U.S. Attorney's Office on behalf of DynCorp between 1999 and 2002. This coincides with the exact time period DynCorp was caught sex trafficking children in Bosnia and Kosovo, and no prosecutions were made. DynCorp played an active role in sexual abuses in Haiti. What if Monica Peterson was actually onto something before she died? What if her discoveries were true? Has anyone else unearthed the Clinton Foundation's alleged ties to human trafficking? Chris Cornell was the vocalist of the popular band Soundgarden. He and his wife, Vicky, worked with six different charity organizations for nearly a decade. In 2012, they founded the Chris and Vicky Cornell Foundation, which strives to support and protect abused and sexually exploited children from around the world. The couple eventually became involved with one of their foundation partners' organizations, Aid Still Required, helping sexually abused orphans out of Haiti. Aid Still Required has received massive donations from the Clinton Foundation. According to a source that spoke with Freedom Daily, it was during this time that Cornell discovered that these orphans weren't being placed into better environments after all, but were then being sold into sexual slavery and human trafficking rings. In May of 2017, Chris Cornell was found hanged to death in the MGM Grand Hotel, leaving behind his wife Vicky and their three children. He was discovered with 9 broken ribs, blood splattered on the wall, and had suffered head trauma before he died. His death was officially declared a suicide, but his family and close friends insist he was in no way suicidal. Many of the details of his suicide simply don't add up. For instance, Chris had just performed a full concert with no apparent signs of having 9 broken ribs. Chris's body was found cold to the touch, which would have taken at least 2 hours in a hotel room. This would place the time of his death between 11 p.m. and 11:30 p.m. when his bodyguard, Martin Kirsten, was reportedly with him. There is no official explanation for what caused the bloodstain on the wall next to his body. His feet were touching the floor, meaning he was only partially suspended by his neck. Furthermore, Chris's bodyguard claims that he had to kick in the door to his hotel room to discover Chris dead. Not only is this nearly impossible to do without a door-breaching mini-ram, but the crime scene report indicated no sign of forced entry. After reviewing the autopsy report and position of the body, world-renowned forensic pathologist Dr. Werner Spitz concluded that Cornell's death was not a suicide. Dr. Spitz has worked with many high-profile murder investigations, including Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and John F. Kennedy, and served as an expert witness during the O.J. Simpson and Casey Anthony trials. One article reads, "Speaking to TMD, a source close to Cornell has come forward, claiming that he had uncovered evidence of a cocaine and child trafficking ring in Mena, Arkansas, that was tied to Bill and Hillary Clinton. According to the source, Mr. Cornell had uncovered the identities of high-level elites that were part of the same Satanic Illuminati occult operation as the Clintons and planned on exposing their goings-on right before he died." Two months later, it was reported that Linkin Park frontman Chester Bennington committed suicide on Chris Cornell's birthday. Bennington and Cornell were reportedly working collaboratively to expose a pedophile ring operating in the music industry and elsewhere, although this cannot be substantiated. However, that doesn't mean that Bennington's death, and life for that matter, is without intrigue. Linkin Park was handpicked by John Podesta to promote an organization called Sustainable Energy for All in Haiti, which received a $250,000 grant from the Clinton Foundation, even though they did not apply for it. Bennington and Cornell were both associated with the Haiti-based nonprofit Aid Still Required. One police source was quoted as saying that he believed Bennington was murdered. Oddly, the Los Angeles Coroner's Office took 130 days to release the autopsy report. Bennington's sister, Toby, has publicly indicated that she believes her brother shared the same fate as Jeffrey Epstein, who famously didn't kill himself. She claims her Twitter account was subsequently hacked and suspended after she publicly shared her suspicions. There does appear to be a striking resemblance between the faces of Bennington and Hillary Clinton's campaign chairman, John Podesta, which many have pointed out looks like a father-son relationship. The prevailing theory is that Bennington's mother, Elaine, had an affair with John Podesta, which would have been possible given that the two knew each other. The theory goes that when Bennington's biological father found out he was raising another man's son, he divorced her. Now, many investigators believe that Linkin Park, the band, is an homage to Linkin Park, a Canadian military base in Alberta that conducted MKUltra mind control experiments on children for the purpose of developing super spies and assassins. Many children involved in the programs at Linkin Park were sexually abused. Bennington has publicly spoken of being sexually abused as a child. John Podesta, or Skippy as he prefers to be called, owns a large and vile collection of what can only be described as pedophilia art. Podesta was also chief of staff to President Bill Clinton.
All right, well, you see where I'm coming from.
Okay, yeah.
When I talk, that's because I'm interested in this ongoing whatever the hell they're doing.
What's in your closet, John Podesta? Big Podesta? Big Soros? Do you want us to play these games? Because we're playing to win.
In 2009, James O'Keefe of Project Veritas released undercover videos purporting that ACORN, the Association of Community Organizations for Reform Now, had been engaged in underage prostitution. None other than John Podesta was appointed to investigate the scandal. Journalist Andrew Breitbart was vocal about his disdain for Podesta. On February 4th, 2011, Andrew Breitbart tweeted, "How progressive guru John Podesta isn't a household name as a world-class underage sex slave op cover-upper defending unspeakable dregs escapes me." Then, a year later, all throughout February 2012, Breitbart telegraphed the release of a video that he said would appear on March 1st. This video, he claimed, would be severely damaging to Obama's re-election campaign. "Wait till they see what happens March 1st, he said. Right before the anticipated release on February 28th, 2012, he tweeted, "How much longer until they kill me? Heart attack or car accident? Or frame me for a crime? Read me while you can." Breitbart died of an alleged heart attack on March 1st, 2012, just 2 days later. The coroner who conducted the investigation died of arsenic poisoning just 2 months later. Given the gravely serious nature of investigating international child trafficking rings and their ties to Washington, Hollywood, and the Vatican, there have been many suspicious deaths of whistleblowers and journalists who've attempted to blow this story open. There is a preponderance of dots that, if connected, may point to those who seek to silence this message. Moreover, this industry of sorrow appears to be international in scope. Human traffickers see borders as mere lines on a map. It's important to draw the distinction between what I call lone wolf pedophiles and international networks. The networks allow the media to cover stories on lone wolf pedophiles because it feeds the idea that pedophiles don't work together clandestinely on an industrial scale. One need not look any further than the suspicious death of former police detective Mark Minnie, author of The Lost Boys of Bird Island, an expose of high-level child trafficking in South Africa. Shortly after publishing his book, he was found dead by gunshot to the head. His death was ruled a suicide, despite his family claiming he assured them that he would never commit suicide.
An official cover-up of a pedophile ring involving former Minister of Defense Magnus Malan and three other National Party cabinet members.
But family members say Minnie told them days before he died that if anything happened to him, they must know he was killed.
He has been mentioning it to us for quite a long time. He expressed that his life was in danger. There is no ways that I or any of us believe that he would have opted out. And that is why I've actually agreed to do this interview, to dispel any thoughts and rumors that this could have been a suicide.
15 years ago, I was incarcerated and tortured by the government because of a book I published naming names of big group of politicians and businessmen that were doing child trafficking.
One can also examine the case of investigative reporter Lydia Cacho Ribeiro, who was beaten, raped, harassed, arrested on false charges, and had her home vandalized when she began investigating systemic child abuse in Mexico.
That was the seventh time in my life as a journalist that I had to flee my home in order to stay alive.
In 2005, she published Los Demonios de Eden, The Demons of Eden, a book exposing a child trafficking ring involving politicians, government officials, and businessmen. Another suspicious case involves filmmaker Bill Bowen, who died suddenly under strange circumstances a year after publishing a trailer for his documentary, Innocence Destroyed, exposing corruption in the Child Protective Services. Is it unreasonable to assume foul play was involved with these three brave individuals when this pattern appears virtually everywhere that child trafficking is about to be exposed? On May 13th, 2019, police responded to the scene of an apparent suicide where an individual jumped from a bridge onto a motorway before being struck by a vehicle.
Corey Feldman, you are fake news, and you protect pedophiles.
Actor Isaac Cappy, age 42, had stated in a live stream just 3 days prior to the incident that he would not commit suicide. While making bold statements about the existence of pedophile rings in Hollywood, he acknowledged he was putting himself in harm's way and had proactively taken steps to ensure his safety, such as setting up a dead man's trigger.
Something bad is about to happen? Yeah, something bad's about to happen.
We know you can't trust the cops. So I was like, what can I do to give myself time, to save myself, to insulate me? So I gave them the thing that said I had a dead man's switch. What does that do? It means they can't kill me. They can't kill me. They can't kill me.
Do wealthy and powerful groups engage in human trafficking and conspire to systematically cover up its prevalence? Are the whistleblowers correct in their claims of widespread pedophilia, permeating the upper echelons of finance, law enforcement, religion, entertainment, and politics? We are left in perplexity. Do we go back to believing that activists on a moral crusade routinely kill themselves? Or do we take the harder pill to swallow and acknowledge that criminal syndicates will go to unspeakable lengths to evade prosecution for their crimes? Perhaps next time, we will pause and reflect on the brave mavericks that died exposing this monstrous black market. The next time we read a headline of someone who has been suicided.
This is a concerted effort. This is a concerted effort. Politics of personal destruction.